Inspire FM presents Eyes on Israel with your host, the New Brunswick representative for the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem, Canada team. Your Christian embassy established in Jerusalem since 1980. Suzanne Trites.
Hello, it's my privilege and honor to be a voice and advocate for Israel and the Jewish people. Stephen Mueller with Inspire FM. Thank you for joining me today.
Glad to be here, Suzanne. Can you tell the listeners about this past week in Israel?
Well, the IDF struck a Hezbollah launcher and tunnel shaft in southern Lebanon. The presence of the infrastructure in the area constitutes a violation of the understandings between Israel and Lebanon. Along the Lebanon border, Israel completed the largest exercise since the beginning of the war aimed at enhancing operational readiness for defense and offense at sea, air, and on land. The purpose of the exercise was to strengthen readiness for extreme defense scenarios and ensure a rapid response to emerging incidents, all while applying lessons learned from 2 years of fighting across multiple arenas.
And how are things on the southern border?
Good news, Stephen. Since October 13th, several of the 20 living hostages have been discharged from the hospital and have returned to their communities to begin doing life again. For the first time since October 7th, the state of alert in southern Israel was lifted this past week. Unfortunately, Hamas has 11 bodies of deceased hostages within their hold, having handed over two more on October 30th. Israel has intelligence that Hamas has access to possibly 8 of those bodies. These are bodies who were expected to be returned shortly after the living ones on October 13th. In one instance, Hamas did not return the body of a hostage as they should, but returned missing body parts of an abducted fallen soldier, Ofir Tzafadi, whose body was returned from the Gaza Strip in a military operation about 2 years ago. The family of Ofir said, quote, "This morning we were shown the video in which Hamas removed the remains of our beloved son, bury them, and call on the Red Cross, a vile manipulation intended to sabotage the deal and abandon the effort to bring back all the hostages. This is the third time we have had to open Ofir's grave and bury our son again," unquote. Prime Minister Netanyahu said this constitutes a clear violation of the agreement by the Hamas terrorist organization. There were almost 2,000 terrorist prisoners released from Israeli prison for the exchange of the remaining 58 living and deceased hostages. A terrorist who was released in that hostage deal, a resident of Bethlehem, has been arrested again on suspicion of renewed involvement in the production of explosive devices.
Wow. Is there anything else, Suzanne, happening in Gaza?
Hamas continues to violate the ceasefire. They opened fire on IDF forces in the Rafah area in the Gaza Strip using anti-tank weapons and snipers. Israel's Defense Minister Israel Katz responded, quote, "Today's attack on IDF soldiers in Gaza by the terrorist organization Hamas is the crossing of a bright red line to which the IDF will respond with great force," unquote. As part of the strikes, the IDF and ISA struck over 30 terrorists holding command positions within the terrorist organizations operating in the Gaza Strip. The IDF will continue to uphold the ceasefire agreement and will respond firmly to any violation of it. In response to Hamas's blatant violation of the ceasefire agreement, the IDF struck dozens of Hamas terror targets throughout Gaza, such as observation posts, weapons production warehouses, underground tunnels, and mortar shell firing posts, making it the number one mission to protect Israeli lives. Over 60% of tunnels are still intact. So the Hamas violations unleashed since the ceasefire agreement. On October 13th, terror cell crosses yellow line under bogus hostage search pretext, unearthing a massive weapons cache hidden in a mosque. October 19th and 20th, anti-tank missiles and heavy fire ambush IDF troops in Rafah, claiming 2 Israeli soldiers' lives. October 20th, armed militants breach yellow lines, repelled by decisive IDF fire to protect their forces. October 28th, machine gun barrage targets IDF bulldozers in demolition ops, killing a reserve sergeant in cold blood, a 37-year-old father of five. Despite the violations, aid trucks continue to enter Gaza as usual. The IDF will continue to uphold the ceasefire agreement and will respond firmly to any violation of it.
Is there anything more, Suzanne? And how would you suggest that we pray this week?
Yes, one final announcement. November 3rd to the 7th is Holocaust Education Week. It is important to be educated on why Israel says never again. This reaffirmed after the last 2 years. You can find out information on events at holocausteducation.ca. That is holocausteducation.ca. With that, I recommend the following strategic prayer points. Continue to give God thanksgiving for the return of loved ones and their reintegration into normalcy. Pray for the return of the 11 remaining deceased hostages to Israel for proper burial. Pray for the steps going forward on the peace plan agreement for the people of Israel and Gaza. With anti-Semitism on the rise, that Canadians here in Atlantic Canada rise and be active in showing support for Israel and our Jewish citizens. Comfort for those in mourning and dealing with PTSD. And declare Psalm 126 over Israel as the captives returned home. Finally, please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. According to Deuteronomy 11:12, the eyes of the Lord God are always upon Israel. Since His eyes are on Israel, our eyes must be equally on Israel.
Thank you so much, Suzanne, for these important prayer points.
It's my pleasure, Stephen. And to our audience, I say thank you so much for your prayers. And shalom, peace be with you, until next time.
This has been Eyes on Israel on Inspire FM with Suzanne Trites. To contact Suzanne, email suzanne@inspire.fm. And for more information on the ICEJ, visit the website at icej.ca.